Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Charity Charge Show. Today, I have with us Dr. Noeen Malik, who is the, well, she does so many amazing things. I don't actually know where to start. You are obviously a doctor. You have your PhD. I know you're a part of Stanford. And we're going to talk today also about your work with Scientudio and Endorse Hope. Can you just give us a background actually about a little bit about your career and the myriad things that you're up to? Because you're doing incredible stuff with Stanford as well.
Hi, everyone. And thanks, Stefan, for inviting me. I am basically a nuclear medicine scientist. Like my main research is in nuclear medicine, particularly focusing in oncology and neuroscience. So my work revolves around development of new radiopharmaceuticals from bench to do the preclinical evaluations and then to the clinical production at the end for the patients too. So I work like with production as well as I also have worked in the past with PET-CT and SPECT scanners for imaging part. This is like my professional side, like what my degree holds and everything. Besides, I do a lot of work. I used to do in past a lot of work for other NGOs and organizations. When I was in New York, I volunteered for Amnesty International and also International Rescue Committee. In International Rescue Committee, we helped actually also refugees for rehabilitation at that time for who are coming from Syria. And when I was in Canada, I also volunteered for during this pandemic time, Society of Canadian Women in Science and Technology as a director of communications and events there. And I have been associated with now another organization, which is Global Immunization Action Networking Team, which is a partner organization with WHO and United Nations and CDRD. Here, I am Executive Director of Public Affairs, but I would be like, it's like almost a year for me to be associated, to be a part of this organization. But now I have recently started my own. I started my business venture first, Scientudio. That this business platform I started like in 2021. And it is mainly was a platform I created during pandemic. I felt that lots of people were out of job markets. And also when I was part of other organizations, I met many women who were sitting at home on the mat leaves. So I wanted to create a platform where they can come and they can stay in the job market, as well as they can also get some money for themselves. So I created this business platform consultancy, especially for life sciences, biotech and pharma companies. And so this is a business venture that I started. But under that umbrella, where I think I felt that I am doing so much work for other organizations, why not to start my own NGO? Because I know where are the loopholes and where are the gaps when we are helping different other organizations in African and Asian countries who are doing some like, amazing work on ground there. So I figured out that I could create my NGO on the basis of that I can address those loopholes, those gaps, and I can help them getting good fundings, which can support and provide the resources for all types of the work they're doing. So I started this then as a global welfare, just a program to test it, that how it goes. So I partner with different, like some NGOs in African and Asian countries. I designed a program which is called as Afro-Asiatic EdTech Program. Under that program, I designed some vocational training programs for them, as well as some education sessions. Now I have registered that global welfare program completely as a separate NGO, which is Endorse Hope. And it is mainly focusing on education-based program and vocational training programs in African and Asian countries where it is required the most. And I think I will, yeah, and we have started some campaigns under that.
Tell us a bit about for Endorse Hope. I know that one of the campaigns you've been working on in projects is about reusable homemade sanitary pads for women in Uganda. How did you recognize that problem? Talk to us about it and what is the solution?
Yeah, actually in African countries, the literacy rate in women is very low. It's not only in Uganda. I learned later on that it's also a ongoing problem in Ghana too. So the problem and why it happens, because I think due to the economical situation there, And due to the everything is so expensive and the inflation rate is so high, the problem there is that girls who are like going to schools, they cannot afford like fancy, I would say, you know, or the branded sanitary pads, which can be reusable and which can be disposable too. So they cannot afford it. So what they have to do during the menstruation days in a month, they have to stay at home. And when every month girls are staying at home from school, so due to the absence from school, you know, they are far behind in their curriculum. Sometimes schools do support them by providing them extra teaching assistance. But of course, the teachers who are also working, they are working within limited salaries, right? So they also cannot provide that much extra assistance too. So at the end of the day, what happens, these girls ultimately either drop out of the school or they just sit at home, or they just leave the school and do something from which they can start earning money by sitting at home, like doing some handicraft work or some other things. And some of the women, they also then enter into very early age marriages. So this was a thing, and when I met this organization, Great Lakes Peace Center, they are doing actually amazing work. What they do, they actually distribute the kits. And they go from school to school and they teach the girls how to make their own homemade reusable sanitary pad. And that kit is actually good for 1 year, basically. They can be reusable for multiple times. So that kit is good for 1 year. And so this way, and it is very good. It's very hygienic, because also if you are not affording the market available sanitary pads, you are using unhygienic conditions. Like, you know, not a good hygienic clothes, not like even sometimes the leaves or the other plantation type material, you know, which is not hygienic, which again cause some other health problems in women. So what they do, they distribute the kits and they tell them how to keep it hygienic, you know, how to clean it properly after every use and how to maintain it. And that campaign was really good. So when I saw it, I really wanted to support it. The problem there is that they lack the resources for that campaign, and I am trying my best to help them out for that. And I think it's also good for climate change, because for climate change and global warming, we're always talking about to reduce the waste, right? So disposable sanitary pads also, in my opinion, also add to the burden of that waste on the climate and environmental health. So I think this can also help in the climate.
I love it. I really think it's innovative, and I appreciate what you're doing. I want to roll back. I want to get into Endorse Hope and ask some more questions about that. But what I'm curious is, your journey to me is very inspirational. And, you know, I'm always trying to kind of get the word out and give advice to younger people that are interested in making a career and making a difference. What inspired you to be on this path as a young child, right? And to decide, I mean, you're highly well-educated and have, you know, decided not only to pursue your, you know, career ambitions, but also to, you know, interlink those with the philanthropic side and making the world a better place. Why do you think that is?
Actually, that's interesting. But I think these things come from your personal experience too, right? Sometimes people have passion in bond. Sometimes this passion is grown with time and they don't have it since childhood, right? So for my case, my childhood was very troublesome childhood. So I started my childhood in being independent at a very early age, you can say age 6. That's a very young age, basically, sure, to support and to start something. So I figured it out. I think I have gone through all those experiences. And I figured it out that, okay, if it could be done this way to me, or if it could be done this way to me, right? And I also know that lots of the problems, being a girl, young girl, or being a woman, which you can face basically when you don't have any strong support system behind you, like a strong from your family side or some other thing. So you learn these things because of your experience. And when you are learning, I think then I also started developing this habit, like, how to be a little bit more compassionate, how to be a little bit more helping. So I learned a lot of things that, I mean, you can help out. It's like, it's I learned it, and it's like a two-way stream that you are taking from community and society, but it's good also to pay back a little bit. I mean, within your capacity and capability, you don't, if you cannot go beyond your way, it's okay. You don't have to go out of your way. You can just do within what you have, limited resources, right? So I think in my journey, I have gone through many multiple type of tough experiences too. So I just, it's like for me is if I can make a job or life of someone else easier, then I would like to do that. And if it is in my hand, I would like to do that. I have seen many times people don't agree with this concept somewhat, but I think for me, it's because I have been in those shoes. So I think that, okay, my life could be easier in that way, right? So this is all. I think that was the base that I continue volunteering my time. Before I was using it for other organizations. Now I am trying to pour all that energy into my own.
Where were you born, and what was your journey becoming a citizen in the United States?
Oh, I am not citizen of the United States.
Okay.
I was born in Pakistan. I was born and raised early, my early years, most of the years, like in Pakistan. And then I moved to Germany at some point. And then
Du sprichst Deutsch?
Yeah, ich kann sprechen.
Ah, sehr gut.
Yeah, yeah. So I continued doing my somehow few years, like I did my education in there.
Yeah.
And there also I met one of my professors who actually like my father. He took me from Pakistan to Germany basically. And he actually groomed me also. He also taught me lots of different things and experiences that I learned. And then I moved to US. I actually moved a lot, and then I moved back to Germany. And then I moved to US again, and then I moved to Canada, and now I am in US. But I am actually a resident of Canada. I'm not a citizen of US, but I am from, like you can say it's. But I spent a lot of years. I spent almost 10 years in Germany, mm-hmm. even more than that. So
that's amazing. What city in Germany or Canada?
When I went first, I was in Munich. So I was living in Gaudi, like near Starnberger See, and I was living there. And then I moved to Tübingen to study in Eberhard Karls University in writing pharmacy. And then I also lived for a certain period of time in Ulm, in Universität Klinikum Ulm. I was working there in nuclear medicine there. So yeah, so I have very strong bonds in Germany too. So I call it always my second homeland, basically. So because I spent lots of my year and my, during my education too. So it actually added a lot to my grooming and also to my experiences. Yeah.
No question about it. I really appreciate you sharing that. Talk to us about, I know another project that you've been doing, which is pretty neat, are the Science Myths playing deck for children. And no doubt they're hand-drawn by you. So tell us a little bit about that concept and what that's all about and how that's going.
Yeah, actually, when I was working for events as a director of communications and events with Quiz, we organized some science trivia challenges, science trivia. And in science trivia, I realized that for some slide, because everything was virtual in pandemic, right? So for some questions in science myths, the slides which I drew with hands with some cartoons and colors, I realized that when I was telling them the answer of that question, showing that slide, children were very, very impressed and they were very attractive and felt appealing to that slide, and due to maybe vibrant colors and everything. And then I realized that why not to convert, because in pandemic, everyone has time, right? So I thought, okay, why not to convert this idea into a playing deck where I can draw all those science myths in a like lightful cartoon styles, you know? And also I can, and this way children can not only play, but they can also learn about science. And I also left few cards blank in that so that children can create their own questions, own rules for some of the cards. And they can even think about those science myths and how it works. This was the idea that I got. And I think When I made these cards, I printed a few decks and I gave it to some of my friends, and they really liked it. And then some people out of Canada, they wanted to have it shipped. So then I put it as a PDF file so that everyone can go and they can download and print it and then play themselves. But this is the project, how it developed, actually.
That's awesome. Can you talk to me a bit about, you know, I'm on the Endorse Hope website right now, and I see you have an area there where you talk about your alignment with the sustainable development goals. And then I can even see it on your screen there. How does that relate to Endorse Hope?
Yeah, actually, I would like to align like the work we are doing, aligned with the sustainable goals of United Nations, because it can also help United Nations to fulfill that goal or to like reach that milestone, right? So we are, for that goals that you have seen on my website, like for education, for women health, right, for the water sanitation, that's actually we are going to start a new campaign very soon in future, particularly in Uganda, about clean water availability, because that's another challenge. So these, and also like economical growth, like also for like for economy growth, for example, we have actually started some vocational training programs too. If you have seen on my website that I figured, because every country had different needs when I contacted them. So for example, Ghana, King's Village, Ghana, they wanted to have more trainings related to the soft skills. For example, Microsoft Office. I came when I talked with Maureen first time, and I came to know that in Ghana, in schools, there are no computers at all. And teachers teach Microsoft Office and Paint on blackboards. And I was shocked. Like, how can you teach this office on the blackboard? They don't have computers, believe me. And then I was thinking, okay, let's develop the curriculum and the courses. I personally will teach them the Microsoft Office, like the beginners, intermediate, and advanced levels. And once we have some data, then I will probably connect you to some potential donors who can donate some equipment to you, who can donate some sort of laptops or some sort of a computer to the schools or to the universities there. And if you see the videos on my website, you will see that when I teach this office to them in the morning time, we have already finished our Microsoft Office course for students and also for teachers. We are going to start now website development in near future. But if you see that in my lectures when I'm giving them, most of the times we have to first fight with the connection of internet. Can you hear me? Can you not hear me? Then you can see that all students and everyone is sitting in the classroom and there is just one computer where they are learning virtually. And I am teaching them on the computer, basically. There's just one computer. And this is how we managed to do that. And I actually am very happy because I did this Microsoft Office. I finished with students and they did, I mean, particularly when they have nothing available. They did a pretty good job because I wanted to have some evaluation exam at the end. And they did actually a very good job and everything. So for transparency purposes, I put my all videos on the website too, so that people can see what we are doing and how we are doing it. And so this was the thing that, and this, I think this, these things will help. Also, we are going to spotlight some handicrafts in Uganda and like other things. And for example, also for Afghanistan, we wanted, the women there wanted to know more about the personality development programs that we are having. So these are all the things that can at the end help in economical growth goal, SDG of United Nations. Why? Because once we are equipping the people with right skill set, they can be a better citizen and they can use that skill to earn some money for themselves and they can contribute in the growth in society. So that's how we are doing
actually. That's awesome. I was not expecting to get that kind of an answer, but it's amazing what you're doing. And it's unbelievable too, you know, how you're sharing the, making it very obvious to me and to others listening how much we have here in America and how others in many places have so little. I mean, just I never would have thought that Microsoft Office was taught on a blackboard because they didn't have computers, you know, and that they would go to the lengths to try to teach something like that. But that's really awesome what you're doing. I really appreciate it. I think it's great. How, if people are interested in supporting your work as a partner or funding, I'm on the website, but you know, how should people get in touch or learn more and get involved?
Okay, for these partners that I found, right? For me, first of all, the partners with whom I can collaborate, I will define the partners into three different aspects. First aspect is partners with whom you can collaborate and who can do the groundwork there. I needed to find those people who are doing already the job on the ground and who don't have access to the donors or sponsors in North America. And I wanted to be the missing link for them to get access to the donors and sponsors. So those are my collaborators, basically, who are already working in those countries. Now, the other types of the partners for funding and sponsors and donors, because this is before it was work, I was doing all that work under the Global Welfare Program to test everything. And I registered it just a month ago, actually. So it is now registered, a full-time registered charity. Now I am actually looking for donors and sponsors who can help. We started that campaign. Some people donated for that campaign, and which is really good, right? But we are also thinking to write even the future grants in future, if it is possible to get the money and to loop in the different sponsors and donors. But yeah, this is the thing that we are still working on it. We really need to tell people, the world, about the work that we are doing and how valuable their help can be for us. It's not only for us, it's actually for the people who are there on the ground, right? If they are doing so much work, they are doing their full-time job to create these resources on the ground there, they also need to be compensated on the ground, right? I mean, when I have these type of the agreements with my partners or collaborators there, we are not asking anything for ourselves, little bit of that. Like, I mean, if you see all these vocational training programs that you can see Microsoft, these all actions were done as a volunteer by me. I woke up every day in the morning, very early, according to the time in the Ghana and other countries. And I gave them these lectures, and I'm going to continue giving them those lectures in future by volunteering my time. But we are definitely looking for those partners, for those sponsors who sponsor these campaigns, who donate these campaigns, and we want to put them in link with these people so that it can be strengthened. I mean, I alone cannot do anything. I need hands in hands, right? I can do what I have. I can give what I have. If I will have lots of fundings, I will give that funding too, right?
Sure.
I am not that person. But of course, if we will have some corporate partners, like even if for Microsoft Canada or Microsoft USA, if they would like to, will be willing to contribute there. Or if someone who is working already on the sanitary pads and they would like to collaborate in some way, or people who are working in green energy, right, on the climate change, and they want to contribute towards this sanitary pad campaign, that would be really helpful. This is how we can build a chain. And by building this chain, only we can help the people in the potential way. Otherwise, I can do it as long as I have capacity. When my all energy will be drained, I cannot, right? So it's also like fueling each other's energy, basically.
That's awesome. And for those, and I'll just say it, since I'm on the website right now, if you are interested in learning more, it is scientudio.biz, and there's an endorse hope button right on there, which is a great way to learn more and be able to get involved. I can see on there, knowing you have all your LinkedIn and email contact information. So that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Well, look, I really appreciate you coming on this episode and sharing what you are doing. I applaud the work you are doing to make the world a better place. It's really awesome. And I can just tell, like, we're not here in person and it's Zoom, and sometimes, you know, things with it's virtual, it can be so like tough to communicate, but you just have such a positive energy about yourself. And I think it's amazing. Thank you for being open about, you know, your backstory, you know, as a young child and what inspired you to make the world a better place. We all can take a page from your book.
Thank you. Thanks, Stefan, for inviting me. I mean, these are the ways and like channels through which we can also convey our message to others. And I'm really grateful to you for having me on this platform. It's really an honor. Thank you.
My pleasure. So everyone, for this episode of the Charity Charge Show, this is with Dr. Noeen Malik from Endorse Hope and many other awesome ventures that she's a part of. So thank you again. And thanks to everyone for listening.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.